We're doing the Shetaran, we're up to the 11th speech. The Ran had discussed the idea of setting up a justice system, that setting up judges and a court in Judaism is not only about the society's needs in order to function as a society, it's not only about maintaining law and order, it's also about maintaining the Torah. And then the Ran said, we can explain this when we realize two things. He says, it says in Sanhedrin that Makirin oto goyarag o Yisrael arag hetritem kibel atra. We question the witnesses. Do you know the murderer? Do you know who he killed? Was it a Jew? Was it a non-Jew? Did you warn him before he killed? Did he say, I'm accepting the warning? Hetir atzmo lamita. Did the person say, I know I'll get the death penalty for doing this, I don't care. Himit toch kedei dibur. How long after your warning did he commit the crime? So we ask them a lot of questions when the witnesses walk in and testify they saw a murder. Then safek yichol ze raui kefi mishpat tzedek. Now undoubtedly, part of having a justice system is that you're going to question the witnesses and ensure that you have real facts, right? So that's part of a justice system. Why would you execute a person if the person didn't know that they were doing an act that they would get the death penalty for? That's why a criminal has to accept the warning. He has to give us some indication that he heard the warning and he's doing it nonetheless. And all the details written in that Tanakh quote in the Braisa are because of that. Now that's a legal system that was given to the hands of the judges. They come in and if someone testifies that a crime was committed, you want to punish him, you have to know for a fact that the person knew the crime was punishable, knew they were committing a crime. You have to check out the witnesses and make sure they really saw the crime. You have to really verify. That makes sense. It's a part of a system. But can you really run a society this way? How many times would the mafia bump off people and you'd never be able to stop them? Because
they defy warning. I mean, everybody, almost every adult is warned already that murder...
Oh, but even in murder, that's the law. You can't... Correct. So the Ran says, how do you run a society like that? Says the Ran, you will lose all order of society. You cannot run a society. If you read the Torah and you read the Gemara and you read the order that Chazal say, so then every murderer will get away with it. They'll literally get away with murder. There will be a plethora of murderers and there will be no fear of punishment. And that's why Hashem says, you must have a monarchy. You have to have a king. That's what it says in this parsha. When you come to the land of Israel, you have to establish a king, and you have to respect him and fear him, and he will ensure you keep the Torah. That's the mitzvah to appoint a king. As our sages of blessed memory taught us, also in Tractate Sanhedrin, part of the legal system is the king. The king can judge a person, and he doesn't have to warn the person, and he doesn't have to verify that there was adequate warning. The king's job is to give rulings based on what he thinks is necessary for society to run. The king can kill someone without proof. Part of his power is that he can kill someone based on one witness or based on his understanding. So we see here that the appointment of a king is a social need, just like any other nation needs a king. ומינוי השופטים מיוחד וצריך בישראל, but judges is unique in Israel. כמו שהזכירות באומרו, as the pasuk says, ושפטו אותם משפט צדק, the judge's job is to bring the nation to righteousness, שמינוי השופטים ויכולתם ושפטו אותם במשפטים צודקים אמיתיים בעצמם. The judges have to bring the people to keeping a life that is a life of righteousness. So the judges have religious responsibility, not only social responsibility. Not only a Sanhedrin, also a Sanhedrin, yes. He's saying that's the balance of powers, that society's needs are really the king's job. And religious needs, that's the judges' jobs. Can it be that the judges will catch a murderer and execute him? It can happen once in 70 years. It's going to be rare.
How do we understand?
It's going to be fit because please, I'm still okay. Just because sometimes the king worked out, sometimes the king was terrible. And
right.
You know, I mean, if you ask an objective person what's better, the kings or the democracy or, you know, whatever, you can make cases for either one, but seemingly Shmuel didn't seem it was such a great idea. The people wanted a king, but it was, but it didn't seem like he had a lot of hesitancy in that. To go ahead and appoint a king. Say, all right, if you want it, yeah, I think that's the way it was told to me. Not that we had to have. I know now we say kings in line of David, but, you know, they were Ahab, and they were, you know, many. Listen,
so, first of all, in the Davidic dynasty, we generally see good kings. So our history is in the Davidic dynasty in the south, in the Judean kingdom, you see things did go primarily right. Primarily, saying, and the need for a king is complex. There are a few sides to the coin. The Talmud describes that there was a mitzvah to appoint a king, so Shmuel couldn't be upset that they wanted to do a mitzvah.
Certainly, as you said, you couldn't run a society.
Oh, but that not. Meaning, that may be true today, but in the days of the judges, Rav Remer writes that one of the greatest badges of honor the Jewish people have is the period of the judges. What other nation could last centuries without central authority?
40 years apiece. The rest of the time they say, you know, they were at each other's throats.
But they weren't at each other's throats. They really weren't. I'm saying, look at the period of judges. You have 3 centuries where the people were up and down religiously, but aside from the story of the concubine on the hilltop, you see a situation of peace. That was one man. I'm saying one man did something wrong, but the people at large, where else do you find the people that can remain ungoverned? There's no central leadership. The question is that a term of degradation, or is that a badge of honor? So Rav Remer argues it's a badge of honor. Coming back to here, so that's where, when the people said to Shmuel, we want a king, Shmuel heard between the lines that they were looking for an out. They were looking for excuses. They were looking to be like the nations. And that's what bothered him. The way they worded it, that's what the Talmud says. If you listen closely, in certain scenarios, you have this with Moshe at the sea. You have this with Shmuel and the request for a king. Where there were really different parties saying different things, and the pasuk puts them all together.
And they wanted out because?
They figured they would get away with more averos. If they had a king, then things would be more lax, because a king can't really know what's going on in everyone's house. Coming back to the Ran, Ranim ve'erod ve'omer, I want to clarify further and say, shekmo shnitechdat ro'otenu mibenim usei umot b'mitzvot v'chukim en inyanim tikon medini klal, just as our Torah is unique, that it is not a system of a behavioral system like the nations have, in that some things that the Torah tells us have nothing to do with society. אבל הנמשך מהם הוא כל השפע האלוקי באומתנו וידבק בנו. Hashem tells us eat matzah. Matzah has nothing to do with running a society. Our mitzvah to eat matzah is our personal mitzvah. The Torah gives us many mitzvot that have nothing to do with society. They are Hashem telling us, here is how I will tell you, here is how you can be holy people. Now, whether I daven in a minyan or not has nothing to do with the running of society. Hashem says, I will connect to you this way. Sometimes you have mitzvot that we can understand. Like everything that's going on in the temple, I can understand that if I go to a central place of worship and I bring a gift and I do certain acts, I connect. Then you have certain things that I can't figure out what, how I connect to God by not eating a cheeseburger. What does that connect me to God? I don't know. Like many other statutes that we don't know why. Why does it matter if my suit is made of wool and linen? Why does God care? I don't know. How does this connect me to Hashem? I don't know. But I have this mitzvah. But we know that by giving us these mitzvot, the Torah wasn't only giving us commandments for how society should run. The Torah was also telling us how to lead our lives so that we can connect to Hashem. Even though human logic would say there's no reason this connects to God. Does God care if I eat a cheeseburger? Why does it matter? And the answer is, I don't know. The answer is, I really have no idea. He said so, so I'm going to do it. But I really don't know. Says the Ran, that's a part of what we're doing here. And the Ran's going to continue discussing these mitzvot in a minute. We're out of time. So what we learned today was about the idea of a court being inadequate to ensure society runs. You must have a king to fill in the gaps. When the Torah limits the court to verifying things to the umpteenth degree, then the Torah is basically saying the court cannot deal with many of the problems of society, and that's where we rely on the king. Nonetheless, the court has its responsibilities, and we have to realize that the court's responsibilities are not only societal, they are also in terms of our connection to Hashem. Their responsibilities are not only about the running of society, but they also encompass the interpretation of the Torah and helping us observe the Torah, which involves mitzvot that have nothing to do with logic. They're not only about the running of society. When the court says you cannot open a cheeseburger factory in Israel, you cannot have non-kosher food in Israel, they are not doing something for the smooth running of society. They're doing something to help us connect to Hashem, to help us keep the mitzvot.
As a society, not...
Okay, fine, but still, it's not about the running of society. It's another realm that the courts have, which is about connecting to Hashem. Very different than what a court in any other society does.
But is the Ran making the point that it is not the responsibility of the court in Israel, Bichlal, to aid in running society? That's only the achrayut of a king? Or is he saying that within the realm of running a society, a king has certain responsibilities, the courts have certain responsibilities, and where the court can't exercise authority, the king is there to fill in the blanks?
The latter, but he's also making the point that the court is so limited that a lot falls on the king. Now, this also opens this, to my mind, this answers something which I never understood. We see in Tanakh that the king seems very accessible, right? When the woman from Tekoa feels that her son is in danger, that there's going to be a fight between the heirs of her husband's a lot, and the two brothers are finding it out, and one kills the other, and she's scared the other heirs will kill the former, and then there'll be no one left. She comes in and says, save me the king. How'd you get to the king? You have two women of ill repute that are fighting over a baby, and they come before Solomon the king. How'd they get there? So the picture you get from Tanakh is that the king was accessible to the people. Much like we find today that the giants of the Jewish people are accessible. You can get an appointment when Rav Eliashiv was alive. You could go in and talk to him and ask him questions. If Bezat Shem, Rav Steinman should be well, you could ask him questions. You could go to Rabbi David Feinstein in the Lower East Side and ask him questions. The giants of the Jewish people are here for the Jewish people and they're accessible. It seems that that was the case with the king as well, and that fits in. Meaning the way the Ran set it up, it had to be that way. Because only the king could deal with certain problems.
Is there